Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Salasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Body Mass Index has been used for decades as a way to assess whether someone is at a healthy body weight for their height. For just about the same amount of time, it's been under attack for the people who feel it was not representative of their body composition. High muscle mass and bigger bones were two of the complaints. I'm not going to disagree, within reason. But as a way of assessing a population in large studies, it can give us some indication of how body mass is related to health. A recently published study has called into question the use of body mass index as a predictor of mortality. Researchers used the data from the 1999 to 2000 National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES for short, to compare body mass index with a method of measuring body fat called bioelectrical impedance analysis. The subjects had all metrics measured when that wave began back in 1999 and 2000, and they were 20 to 49 years old. Then, the researchers obtained death certificates for everyone in that study who died in the 25 years since. The results, presented in hazard ratios, demonstrated that impedance analysis and body fat, together with waist circumference, were significantly related to all-cause and cardiovascular disease mortality, while BMI was not significantly related to either. Now, in the discussion, the researchers suggested that impedance analysis and body fat for determining percent body fat could be used in clinical settings to assess patients at risk for increased risk of dying. Now, is that a good idea? Should we throw out the body mass index? Well, this study was attempting to establish that body fat, as assessed by bioelectrical impedance analysis, was a better predictor of the 25-year death rate than was body mass index. Research made their case by using data collected from that NHANES wave to establish that a measure of body fat that can be collected with a device such as a scale or a wrist monitor was better than hard data like height and weight as used in calculating body mass index. Body composition analysis was my area of expertise when I was a grad student at Michigan State in the 1980s. I tried to estimate the number of people that I underwater weighed to assess body fat, and I think it was probably in the thousands. I believed then, and I believe now, that underwater weighing is the best way to indirectly assess body composition. The problem is that it's complicated and requires a significant amount of equipment to do it properly. Getting a simple and practical way is certainly admirable if you want to test a large number of people, but it's still an indirect measurement. Even dual X-ray absorptometry, also known as DEXA, is an indirect measurement because you aren't measuring fat, bone, or muscle directly. The measurement uses algorithms to come up with a percentage of body fat. The only way to really assess body composition is to incinerate a body and assess the ash for the components of bone, fat, and muscle. Now, you don't get many volunteers for that kind of study, and human subjects would sort of frown on that approach. But decades ago, researchers actually took apart three cadavers into their component parts and used that data to formulate a method for indirectly assessing body fat, and that was underwater weighing. Now, since then, every method, whether it's the BOD pod, which assesses air displacement, or impedance analysis, which uses the resistance of low level of electricity throughout the body, has been validated by underwater weighing. So understand, if something is one level removed from an indirect method, it can't be a direct measurement itself, and it cannot be any better. See, I have a unique perspective on impedance analysis because I was part of the laboratory that collected validation data on the original devices. The researchers continuously stated that impedance analysis was a direct measure of body fat throughout the paper. That's not correct. Impedance analysis measures the body's resistance to a low electrical current throughout the body, as I said earlier. Then that number is put into an equation combined with other measures, primarily height and weight, to calculate a percentage of body fat. In that wave of the NHANES study, they also collected waist circumference and skinfold measures to obtain the best predictive equation for use in future studies. Now, I'm certain that the equations have been updated over the years, but at that time, the model for calculation of body fat was 95% dependent on height and weight. Recent standard errors of the measurement for impedance analysis for body fat range from 3.6% to 6%. There are many reasons for errors of that size, but impedance is particularly sensitive to changes in hydration and alcohol consumption. And to be clear, impedance analysis is not a direct measurement of body fat. It's just easy to use. Body mass index is a measure of surface area. Now, it would be nice if more surface area indicated increased muscularity, but for 99.5% of us, it's not. It's an indication, not a direct measurement, of our body fatness. It does tell us whether we are at a normal weight for our height. But BMI should not be used with hard edges. I would be hard-pressed to say that there is a significant risk of anything for someone who has a BMI of 25.9 versus someone who has a body mass index of 24.9. The former indicates overweight, while the latter indicates normal weight. Now, that's a difference of just 6 pounds, and a good bowel movement could account for half of that. It's not relevant in the real world, but a BMI of over 30 indicates that someone is obese, and that affects an increasing number of people in the United States and other industrialized nations. BMI is still the best metric we have for assessing whether someone is at a healthy weight for their height. We can try to account for bone size and muscularity, but that doesn't apply to most people. Getting to a healthy weight and staying there is still the best way to live the longest and the healthiest life. There's no splitting hairs over that. But here's a factoid for you. My email platform tells me how many clicks we get on whatever we send readers, and by far the most clicked page is the BMI chart on the website. And we include adjustments for frame size so you'll know whether you're really big-boned or not. I believe that having info easily available helps anyone make good decisions about their health, because a BMI chart is still the easiest way to determine whether your weight needs to come down. Getting to a normal body weight for height is still the optimal way of living longer while maintaining good health. Now, I understand the rationale by physicians to be accurate in telling patients where they stand on a risk scale. While the measuring device is certainly much easier to use, it doesn't mean that its results are any better than what BMI could provide. If we're being honest about it, while it may be a number of people that want to know, we don't need better assessments of body composition. What we need is to help people get off their good intentions to do what? Eat better, eat less, and move more. And that's all the time I have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Solasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.